I want to get right into God's Word, but before I do, I just want to say especially thank you. Thank you for loving us for 7 years and enduring us, and it's been such a blessing to our lives to be able to have these relationships, and we look forward to these relationships even in the future. Thank you so much for the generous love offering you've given our family over the last few weeks. Really going to help us to be able to go back to the USA and really rest because of your generous giving. So thank you so much. And please pray for us that we can really have a great time with our family and sending two kids to college and letting the grandparents meet Borden for the first time and be able to get some sleep and rest after packing for so long. Well, I thought it might be good. I'm going to try to go fast since we have baptism and various things going on this morning. I thought it might be good on my last Sunday to preach the same verses that I preached the very first time I came to CBIBC in December 13th, 2015. I came here and preached for the first time, and that was on the story of King Asa. Because it includes one of my favorite verses in the Bible. So if you have a Bible, you'll want to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 15, and 16. I'm going to be in three chapters, so you'll want to have your Bibles open or on. The story of King Asa. Probably not a king that you know a lot about. Probably like, I don't really know a lot about that guy. Who is that? Well, I will tell you a little bit about the book of Chronicles. It's a little bit misplaced in our English Bible. It's one of the last books of the Bible written in the Hebrew Bible. It should be at the very end. And it's really telling a story or a history of all that's been going on so that the people who are reading it would know of what happened in the past so that they would find strength and courage and that they would trust in the Lord. Chronicles is written during a very sad and difficult time. The kingdom had been divided. Nebuchadnezzar had taken the kingdom or the tribe of Judah back to Babylon. And 70 years later, Cyrus the Great, the Persian, had let them go back to rebuild. And when they go back, there's no walls, there's no temple, there's no Ark of the Covenant, there's no king. It was just about as bad as it could be. And the historian, the chronicler, is writing to say, look what God did. Look what God has done all in the past. You can trust Him. So we will study the story of King Asa in these chapters. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Lord, I do pray that you will help your people to hear a much better sermon than the one I've prepared, and by your grace and by the Holy Spirit. And my only hope and prayer is that the church may be built up today. So use me in whatever way you can for the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So if we're going to learn something today about the story of King Asa, let me tell you a little bit where he sits in history. King Asa, just so you know, his great-grandfather is King Solomon's, right? So Abijah's his father, Rehoboam is his grandfather, so his great-grandfather is Solomon. So he's not that far away, just four generations or so away from David and Solomon. Just so you know where he fits in history. He's not like way, way, way down the line. He's pretty soon after King Solomon. What I want us to see in these chapters is that there are four tests that come into the life of King Asa. And the tests are this. Asa, will you rely on the Lord? Will you trust in God? And if you know anything about the kings and the chronicles, it's like, and this king did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and this king did what was wicked in the sight of the Lord. And it's the same old story. Are you going to rely on the Lord, or are you not going to rely on the Lord? So let's dive in. Test number one that's going to come in chapter 14. So turn in your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We are going to look at the first test. And the first test is this, the Ethiopians attack. Now, the ladies read the scripture and it referred to that. So let's back up and look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Here's what it says. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord on the screen. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the foreign altars and the high places and broke down the pillars and cut down the Asherim and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the commandments. Okay, this is a bit of a summary leading into his story. He also took out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under him. He built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, for the Lord gave him peace. And he said to Judah, let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us peace on every side. So they built and they prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, armed with large shields and spears, and 280,000 men from Benjamin that carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. Verse 9. Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and came as far as Mareshah. And Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up their lines of battle in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. And Asa cried to the Lord his God, O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Test number one. Asa was a pretty good king. He had peace in the beginning of his reign. He experienced a bit of a religious revival. He had a great civil works projects, building projects, and even a military buildup. So if you look at his reign, it's like things are going really well, right? He has 580,000 men from Judah and Benjamin, and the Ethiopians have 1,000,000. So what would you do in that situation? If you've got 580,000 and an army is standing against you that's got almost double, would you take those odds? Would you pick a fight? What does Asa do? He's faced with an impossible situation as a young king. First 10 years of his reign. What did he do? 2 Chronicles 14:11. Asa cried to the Lord his God, O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. Did he do the right thing? Test number one. Did he do the right thing as a young king? Yeah, he did, right? He turned to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. He relied on the Lord. And he said, there is none like you, God. God, help. And God was gracious and delivered him. First 10 years of his reign, okay? Test number two. A warning from a prophet. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. In those times there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. They were broken in pieces. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. But you, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Test number two. Prophet Azariah comes to him with an encouragement and a warning and basically says, what kind of king are you going to be? Reminder, if you're going to follow the Lord, the Lord's going to be with you, but don't forsake the Lord or he's going to forsake you. Are you going to be, whose side are you standing on? What does Asa do? Well, if you read the rest of chapter 15, we read a little bit of the summary in chapter 14. He cleansed the land of idols. He reestablished the worship of God in the temple, and he renewed the covenant with God. He even broke his mother's idols to pieces and crushed them and poured them in the brook Kidron. That was his mom's. You imagine that? Your mom's got some idols. Maybe your mom's got some idols in the house. Can you imagine going to them, taking those idols, crushing them into pieces? Saying, no, 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 Mom, we're not doing this. A lot of Mafon, huh? Well, he did that. By the way, this is Absalom's daughter, was his mother. And he removed her from being the queen mother because of her idolatry. He's a stud. Did he pass the test? Yes, he did. Test number three. The northern kingdom of Israel infiltrates his territory. Chapter 16, verse 1. We read that. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel. Now, the kingdom's divided, okay? If you know your biblical history, there's the kingdom of Judah and then Israel, everybody else, okay? So Benjamin and Judah are together and then everybody else is in Israel and they're really pagan idol worshipers. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah that he might permit no one to go out or come in to King Asa of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, hey, there's a covenant between me and you, and there was between my father and your father. Behold, I'm sending to you silver and gold. Go break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me. And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa, and he sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they destroyed a lot of places and hurt a lot of people. You understand what's going on here? You got a kingdom here, Judah. You got a kingdom here, Israel. You got a kingdom here, Syria, Judah. He goes to the guy up north and says, hey, why don't you attack them from the north so they'll stop bothering me on my northern border? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So he makes a deal. He cuts a deal. And so actually his own people, the people of Israel, he has the Syrians attack his own people, his relatives, right? And they kill a bunch of people. And he paid him off by sending a bunch of articles from the temple of God to cut a deal. Many years had passed, and that's what happened. It's a classic story. He makes an alliance with Syria, both of their enemy, and the Lord is displeased. There's no mention of the Lord at all. There's only the mention of, I'll work my relationships, and I'll use money and precious articles of gold and silver to get it done. And look what God says. Look at verse 7. At that time, Hanani, At that time, I went too fast. Keep going. There we go. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you." Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? You remember that? "Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand." 4, verse 9. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, and from now on you will have wars." And Asa was angry with the seer and put him in the stocks in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this. And Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the same time. Here's a problem. Test number 3. The northern kingdom infiltrated his territory. Did he rely on the Lord? Test number one, he did. Test number 2, he did rely on the Lord. He did trust in God and remove the idols from the land. He heeded the words of the prophet. Test number 3, he's grown older. He's more experienced. He's not young and innocent and foolish to trust the Lord. Instead, he works a deal, and the Lord rebukes him. And he rebukes him by reminding him of the past. He says, "Don't you remember what happened when you trusted in the Lord, when you relied on the Lord? He delivered you. Now you've relied on the king of Syria instead of the king of the universe." I want you to notice verse 9, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. What does it say? He tells him, "Asa, God is just looking. God is actually looking for ways to give you strong support. But you relied not on him, but on the king of Syria." I want to just pause on that verse for just a second. I want you to think about this. The eyes of the Lord, it says, roaming, he's looking around throughout the whole earth, looking for ways to give strong support to those whose hearts are blameless toward him. Isn't that amazing? That means, that verse says, that God is on the offensive. God is proactive. He's not reactive, just going, "Boy, I really wish they would say something to me. I really wish that they would call out to me so I could help them." He's looking for people who will rely on him so that he can not just give support, but strong support. But what do? We're just like Asa. And we say, "That's all right, God. That's all right, God. I got it. I got it. I can handle it." We rely on ourselves, or we rely on our relationships, or our bank account. "What can I do to fix this?" And the Lord is saying, "I'm just looking for ways to give strong support." So test number 3, he fails. Now test number 4. Disease in his feet. Chapter 16, verse 12. In the 39th year of his reign, he's been king a long time, Asa was diseased in his feet. And his disease became severe, Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, dying in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in the tomb that he had cut for himself in the city of David. Early on in the king's life, he relied on the Lord. You see, he's kind of like new at this. He's desperate. I don't really know what I'm doing. He relies on the Lord. When he gets older, he's been doing it a while. He starts to rely on himself and rely on others and turns away from the Lord. Ethiopian army, twice his size, attacks and he relies on the Lord. He removes idolatry from the country and they experience a great revival. Later on, though, he grows practical and does not rely on the Lord. What does the writer of Chronicles want us to know? Why is the writer of Chronicles telling us this story? Now, it's not a perfect story. He's not telling us Asa was a wonderful guy and had no flaws. If you read Kings, it doesn't really mention his flaws, but Chronicles does. What does he want us to know? What does God want us to know? God wants us to know that when we experience difficulty, danger, disease, we are to rely on the Lord. Now, be careful. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go to a physician. But he didn't rely on the Lord at all. He didn't even seek the Lord. Okay? So, just in case anybody thinks I'm saying we just pray about it, we don't ever go to the doctor. That's not. Sometimes God heals by medicine. Sometimes he heals by miracle. But God wants us to hear these words that we need to rely on the Lord. Some of you, actually all of you, and all of us, have issues and difficulties in our life right now. And you know exactly what they are. And the Lord would encourage you today, you need to rely on me. You need to stop trying to fix everything, and you need to rely on me. It may be your health. It may be fear. It may be your finances. It may be that you're looking for a spouse. Whatever it is, the Lord tells us to rely on Him. When we think all hope is lost, and we don't know what to do, we don't know what the answers are, we rely on the Lord. Can I just tell you, that's the challenge of life. And if you look at Asa's life, I got really bad news for you. You're just going to continue to experience things in your life where you have an opportunity to rely on the Lord. Whether it's in year 10 or you're 30 or you're 39 or you're 41 or you're 84. To rely on the Lord. That's what God calls us to as believers. All the way to the end, rely on the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, whether personally or as a church, my encouragement and exhortation to CBIBC as a church is very simple. You'll be fine as long as you rely on the Lord. If you don't rely on the Lord, you will have difficulty. Now, it doesn't mean that things are always, you rely on the Lord and things are always perfect and things always work out the way you want it to. But nevertheless, we are to trust Him and rely on Him. As I close, I just want to say, Deng Shuo-Qing, don't come up here. I'm just mentioning your name. Deng Shuo-Qing is coming today to be baptized. Now, what is he doing? I'm speaking for you. Now, what is he saying as he's going to be baptized? He's saying, for the biggest problem in my life, which is sin, I'm relying on the Lord. I'm not relying on myself. I'm not relying on some idols. I'm not relying on some foreign god. I'm turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm relying on Him to take care of all of my sin, to trust Jesus to take away my sin. And Dong Shou Qing and I have talked about how baptism is not the end, it's the beginning. And what are we doing? That this is the beginning of a lifetime of saying, I rely on the Lord. You may not be a Christian today. My exhortation to you is, get to the end of yourself. Stop relying on yourself. Stop trying to fix yourself. And come to Jesus Christ. And He will forgive you of your sins. He will make you new. He will change you. Believe in your heart that He died on the cross for your sins and that He rose from the dead and that He's alive. Put your faith in Him, which means rely on Him and trust in Him, and you'll be saved. I know there's many of us who would love to be able to talk to you today about how you can put your faith and trust in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, it's my hope and prayer for all of us in this room that You would guard us from kind of living on tomorrow's victories in such a way that we neglect to rely on You in the present. I pray, Lord, that You would give us all endurance, perseverance in the faith, that we might, even to the very end, no matter if it's persecution or famine or sword or pestilence, whatever it is that might come our way, that till the very end, Lord, You will give us the grace to rely on You. Lord, I pray Your blessings on CBIBC. Pray that, Lord, in the days ahead, this might be a church that will continually and always be a church that is known for trusting in the Lord and loving the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.